Our scripture tonight is, as we go through the Psalms, Psalm 56. To the chief musician, set to the silent dove in distant lands, a mitam of David, when the Philistines captured him in Gath. Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? All day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together. They hide. They mark my steps when they lie in wait for my life. Shall they escape by iniquity? In anger, cast down the peoples, O God. You number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. In God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praise to you, praises to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? As I studied this psalm this week, a song I heard long time ago before I even was a Christian came to mind, and just a few lines of that song. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am stuck in the middle with you. And the reason I thought of that particular psalm was because that's the situation David was in. He had Saul to the left of him, he had Philistines to the right, and he was stuck in the middle with God. Well, being stuck in the middle with God's not such a bad thing. Even when you have enemies all around you. I also thought back to what I used to think of as an adventure. When I was younger, I thought a lot of these adventure stories are really ordeals, if you think of it. The Indiana Jones, the Temple of Doom, he's poisoned. You know, who wants to be poisoned? He has to endure and barely survive a plane crash. He goes through snow and hot weather and has to eat insects, and that's just the start of his troubles. And all of that would not be anything anybody would desire, except he had a beautiful girl with him the whole time. And that's what made it an adventure, I thought. There's the adventure. Otherwise, this whole thing would be just one ordeal after another. And this psalm seems to say, here's David in one trial and ordeal after another, but not with a girl with him, but with God with him. And with God with him, his ordeals all become an adventure because God is on his side. God is fighting for him. And in the end, just like in the movies, we know David wins. He's stuck in the middle with God, and it's not such a bad place. Well, what was this psalm's setting? It says, a mikkam of David when the Philistines captured him in Gath. And we read about that in 1 Samuel 21, 10 through 15, where it says, then David arose and fled that day from before Saul. Saul was the king who was chasing him, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. Gath was where Goliath was from, Goliath who he had killed. And the servants of Achish said to him, is this not David, the king of the land? Didn't they not sing to him, to one another in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousand and David his 10,000s? Now David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them, pretended madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gate, and let his saliva fall down on his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, "Look, you see, the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need a madman that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" Here's the situation David was in. This is the situation that is the setting for this psalm. Saul had been chasing David, and he chased him right into the hand of his, you could say, worst enemies. If Saul was bothered by the song, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s, how much more the thousands and 10,000s of Philistines that have been slain, how mad are they at such a thing? And so here we start this psalm with a prayer for mercy and a prayer for protection. He says, "Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High." And that was the case. He had enemies even among his friends. And then his enemies that were enemies were enemies. Saul had chased David right into the hometown of his defeated foe Goliath. And you could say he's out of the frying pan and into the fire. He's not in a good position here. If the song, as they said, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000, angered Saul, how much more angry would the Philistines, who had many of their people had been killed by David? How angry would they be? And this is the very hometown of Goliath. How angry would Goliath's family and friends be? They would want David dead. They would swallow him up," is what David says. "For man would swallow me up." Saul had a whole army that would swallow up David, and the Philistines had a whole nation that would swallow up David. Everybody was mad at him. Nobody was happy with him except God. And that's what counts. They would hound him, it says, like hound dogs, like the beagles chasing after a fox. They come after David. He says many fought against him. It says all day here, but it could also mean constantly, every day. And Martin Bouchier, in Man of the Heart, written in 1855, says this about that verse: "There is no morning on which we can arise and go forth into the world and say no enemy will come out against me today. There is no night in which we can retire from that world and think to find safety in the solitude of our own chambers and so say no evil can enter here." Now, I think here we have it pretty safe most of the time, but we don't know for sure. The next morning we wake up, we'll have some enemy coming after us or something like that in the night. And this was constantly, regularly David's situation. These are the reasons for David's prayer for mercy. He had enemies all around him, and they were very zealously trying to kill him. Well, secondly, we see in this psalm, even though David is in such a horrible situation, David's fear was conquered by his faith. He says, "Whenever I am afraid," which this would be a situation you'd be afraid in, he says, "I will trust in you. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can the flesh do to me?" Well, they could kill him, but then he'd go to heaven, right? That's the way I'm sure he was thinking. They had no way of beating him. David had faith to defeat Goliath. He's afraid now. Why? Because Saul's army, which those people, Saul should have been grateful to David, but they're after him. And Goliath's army, which they should have been conquered. You know, David had chased them down. If Saul would have continued against them, they would have been beaten down. But Saul has turned his sights on David. And so now the Philistine army is still strong. And both of them are against David. Verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. There is nothing like faith to help in a pinch. Faith dissolves doubts as the sun drives away mists. And that you may not be put out, know that your time for believing always is. There are times when some graces may be out of use, but there is no time wherein faith can be said to be so. You know, even now when we're facing this virus out there, this is a time of faith, to believe in God, to trust in Him. Wherefore, faith must always be in exercise. Faith is the eye, is the mouth, is the hand. And one of these is of use all day long. Faith is to see, to receive, to work, to eat. And the Christian should be seeing or receiving or working or feeding all the day long. Let it rain, let it blow, let it thunder, let it lightning. A Christian must still believe. At what time, said the good man, I am afraid I will trust in thee, John Bunyan. Another quote from A.R. Fawcett. What time, literally what day, as a man daily oppresses me, every day when I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Every day, all the time. It's always in season to have faith in God, to believe in Him, to trust Him. Why? Because He's always in control. He's always working things together for our good. Even when things look very, very dark and scary, He's on our side, and we have no other place to go. Thirdly, what David's enemies do. We see this in the psalm. All day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together, they hide. They mark my steps when they lie and wait for my life. First, they twisted David's words. David was a good man. He was on Saul's side. He wasn't a traitor. But I'm sure they made, if he said one thing, they twisted it so it sounded like something totally different. They would have to, because David was faithful to Saul. He gladly served the king and Israel. Yet they made him out to be a traitor and somebody who deserved to be hunted and killed. All their thoughts were against me for evil. That's what David says. Not just Saul's thoughts, but their thoughts, the whole group of them. It's a plural, not just Saul that's against David. And this shows, I believe, that the twisting of the words against David, and Saul did that probably the most. He started the lies, others supported the lies, and it came to the point where the whole nation, at least the army of Saul, was chasing after David. He should have been a national hero. You know, he had killed Goliath. Saul had slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. He was being a faithful soldier, doing what the king wanted. And yet he was turned into an enemy by the twisting of words, and everyone comes after him. Well, first you ask the question, what David's enemies do, and these are the things. But then the second question is, what is due David's enemies? Shall they escape by iniquity? In anger, cast down the peoples, O God. Here David is being chased, and Saul is thinking he's going to catch him. And maybe the Philistines think they will catch David. But David knows God's in control. There will be a judgment. Saul will be defeated. We know eventually he commits suicide. And so the enemies, though they had all the power on their side, did they get David? No, they're destroyed. They lost in this. So fifthly, we see what David is certain of. One, he knew where he was at all times. God knew where David was at all times. He says, you number my wanderings, Psalm 56, 8a. You number my wanderings, meaning he's keeping track of where David is. You know, my phone is a Google phone and it has location on it. And so somebody tries to text me or something, my phone knows right where I am. If I'm getting gas at one of these gas stations and I just press a little button, I can tell somebody I'm right at that gas station. My phone will give them a little map and everything right where I am. Well, God knows that about each one of us, right where we are, each step we take, better than GPS, better than Google. And here David took comfort in that because God was following David for his benefit and for his blessing. God cared deeply about David's trials. He says, "You number my wanderings, put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? Put thou my tears in thy bottle." John Gatsby wrote, among other things, in the collection of Mr. Abbott of Cairo, he had a lacrimatory, I think Ruth Gross actually had one of these as well, or tear bottle, which had been found in a tomb at Thebes. This interested me very much. The custom of old times was when a person was ill or in great distress, for his friends to go to see him and take with them a tear bottle. Then as the tears rolled down the cheeks of the sufferer, they were caught in these bottles and sealed up and preserved as a memorial of the event. This is what David referred to in Psalm 56:8. People, the Hebrews used to actually go and collect each other's tears when there was a particularly sorrowful event. And he says, God is doing that for me. He knows my sorrows. He knows how many tears I've cried. He says, are they not in your book? Don't you have a record of each tear and what this tear was cried for? And what was the circumstance I was in at that time? God does. God was on his side and would eventually fight for him. David says, when I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, for God is for me. This goes along with Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? And David knew God was on his side. And so even though he has two armies, the Philistine army and Israel's army and King Saul all against him, I know God is on my side. And I'm going to win in the end. Sixthly, David's determination. Number one, to praise God and his word. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. Whether God brings hardship or the Lord brings mercy, David will praise him and his word. You know, he uses the word God, which is Elohim, which talks about God as the great God who controls all events. And David was going through hard times, and he's saying God would control those things. And then when he uses the word Lord, the Lord was Israel's deliverer, their Savior. That was the name of God who was personal to him. And here he gives the Lord credit for the mercy. And both of these things are in God's word. So he praises God for both things. Secondly, to trust even in the worst circumstances, David is determined that he's going to still trust God. You know, there was a battle, I believe, going in David's heart. He says, when I am afraid, there was fear there, I will trust in you. And his fear would be overcome by his faith. He determined to have faith. He says, in God I have put my trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Sometimes we need to be like David. If we're going through particularly hard times, we need to think about, what is this circumstance? And is God in control of it? Can God get me out of it? Can God help me through it? Is God going to win for me in the end? If we're dying, even if we're suffering, one day that suffering, if we're true believers, will be over. And we'll be in heaven and we'll be with God forever. And so we trust God even in the worst of circumstances. The third determination of David was to keep his vows. he had made to God. Verse 12, he says, "Vows made to you are binding upon me. O God, I will render praises to you." Psalm 56, 12. He probably made vows to God after he defeated Goliath. "Oh, you've been with me, Lord. I will praise you forever." Maybe when he defeated more of the Philistines, "Oh, Lord, I vow to praise you forever." But now he's on the losing side of things. He's being surrounded and pushed out of his own country by Saul, and he has to feign that he is insane before the Philistines. But even in this circumstances, he says, "I made the vow. I promised, Lord, I will praise you. And so I'm going to praise you even in these hard times, even when I'm not seeing the victory right away." And then the reason for David's determination about these things. Number 7, God's deliverance. In verse 13, he says, "For you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" Psalm 56, 13. God's deliverance of David in the past helped him to trust God for his future. David could go all the way back to when he was a shepherd boy, and he saved the sheep from the lion and the lamb. And he could look back to his victory over Goliath, who seemed like he would beat David easily. Maybe even to his victories over the Philistines before Saul turned against him. And he could look back and he could say, "I won here, I won here, I won here." Why? Because God was with me. And now I have another trial, a bigger trial. I had the champion of an army against me in Goliath of Gath. Now I have two whole armies against me. But I'm going to still trust God. You know, it says that in Corinthians that God will not give us something above that which you are able. With David, he was able to defeat Goliath. And so after that, he sends two armies after David. And he still wins. And why is that? Because God also makes a way to escape. And David knew that. David kept his walk with God. He says that I may walk before God in the light of the living. He trusted. He had faith. Even when things really looked hard for him, he kept going in the right way. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, for your love for us. We thank you that you're the God who cares for us and watches over us even in our worst of circumstances. And Father, help us to trust and have the kind of faith that David had when he had Saul on the left of him and the Philistines on the right. And yet he was in the middle, he was right with you. And Father, help us to be with you. And you, Father, we pray, will be with us in all our various circumstances. And help us to trust you. Help us to believe that you will save and do save. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.